Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Burke Allen Show on WAMS. Listen now as Billboard Magazine award-winning broadcaster Burke Allen talks with entertainers, authors, speakers, and everyday Americans about the issues that affect you. Be a part of the program by calling 718-506-1944 or instant message your question and comments to our show chat room and interact with today's guest. Now, from his secret broadcast bunker located somewhere beneath the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., here's your host, Burke Allen.
Here in the nation's capital, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, Barney Frank, Gary Hart, and dozens of other political leaders, reaching all the way back to Thomas Jefferson, have been involved in sex scandals. So this is a subject that feels right at home here inside the Beltway. As we get ready for Valentine's Day, just around the corner, it's a special Valentine's sex show on the Burke Allen program. And our first guest, as we go bi-coastal, is based in Los Angeles. She is marriage counselor and sexologist Dawn Michael. Hi, Dawn, and welcome to the Burke Allen Show.
Hi, Burke. How are you doing today?
I have to ask you, first of all, how you get into being a sexologist. You know, this is not something that I think that kids who dream of growing up to be astronauts and firefighters, they say, yeah, that's for me. How did you get into that?
Well, you know, sexology is just really about human sexuality. So I started out being a marriage counselor and helping couples, and I found that I just was kind of going in the direction of helping people with their sex life naturally because I feel comfortable talking about it. But the education that we get as marriage counselors is just 2 semesters. So I went back to school to get more information on sexology to help, you know, married couples with their sex life.
And by the way, if you'd like to visit Dawn online, the website is thehappyspouse.com. And you concentrate primarily on married couples. Why married couples as opposed to unmarried?
Well, actually, I do both. I happen to work with a lot of men as well. But the reason that I started focusing on married couples is because, again, my basis was in marriage counseling. And I just found that people were not comfortable with their sex life and they weren't being open about it. And I wanted to help because there's so many people out there that are living in sexless marriages, unhappy marriages. And in fact, one of the interesting things is on the list of sexual dysfunctions, the third one on the list is lack of communication. So husbands and wives are coming into marriages and they're coming in with their own set of standards on what sex should be in marriage, and they don't talk about it. So this causes a problem, and a lot of them don't even know that they need help with it, or if they do, they feel embarrassed. So I'm here to help them normalize what they're feeling.
Our guest is Dawn Michael, and she's in Los Angeles. By the way, you can read Dawn in the LA Examiner, in laexaminer.com, as she writes about sexology and her work with married couples. Dawn, later on in the program today, we're going to talk with a young lady who's written a book about interracial relationships. And as we head into Valentine's Day, have you had experience with interracial relationships? And I would think that would add a whole extra complication into the communications challenges that you talked about.
You know, it's interesting because when it comes to human sexuality and the part that I work with, interracial, I have worked, but it's such a spectrum with human sexuality because someone could be in an interracial relationship and, again, come in with their own set of standards, how they were raised and how a man and a woman should act towards one another. And that's another thing that I want to point out is that men and women in the youth stage, they feast differently. It's not the same. So it should be interesting to hear what the other person has to say on the interracial relationship and the background that goes into it.
Our guest is sexologist Dawn Michael, who got her start as a marriage counselor. And I didn't realize until you said so that there's two semesters is it in your training in marriage counseling. What are the primary differences between what you do now as a sexologist and what you did previously in just strict marriage counseling?
Well, the difference is that as a sexologist, I can be a sex educator. I can also be a sex counselor. I'm not governed by, per se, the restrictions of just being a marriage counselor. So when people call me up and they have fetishes or fantasies, the gamut of sexual disorders, I'm able to help them not only in the sense of being non-judgmental, because I've gone through so much extra training to watch videos and not to be surprised, but to be non-judgmental and accepting of everybody. And the thing is, when people call in, because I do a lot of work over the internet, if they feel that their problems are unusual, and a lot of them are very normal and just explaining that it's part of who they are and to accept themselves for who they are. And there's a lot of that goes into it when we talk about sexuality, a lot of shame involved. And it's hard for people to come on and talk about this. It's a very personal subject. So it really takes an individual who can appreciate that we're not only talking about someone's emotions, but there's also the organic part of it, where I work with doctors as well to rule out any organic problem going into a consultation with a client. So there's a lot here when we talk about human sexuality.
I can imagine that and I understand from reading up on you that you're in a long-term marriage, you have two children, that there have to be times when your husband turns to you and says, "Stop that, you're analyzing me, you're practicing on me."
Actually, my husband has never said that, because when I've come home and practiced on him, he's not upset about at all.
It's all good. All right.
It's all good with him. I know. But honestly, 12 years of marriage, I've been through my own ups and downs in my marriage. So when someone comes to me and they've been married and they say they're having problems, I can relate on that level as well. And so, yeah, I mean, marriage is not easy. It takes work. You have to, and with Valentine's coming up, I say you got to date your spouse. You got to put the romance back into it and date your spouse and make it special. And also, bring in some variety in your sex life. Don't be afraid to do that. You are sharing it with this person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. So it's okay to experiment with different things. Of course, me being a sexologist.
Dawn Michael is our guest today. She's a sexologist based in Southern California. You can meet her online at thehappyspouse.com, thehappyspouse.com, and she's also a featured writer for wellness.com, the Los Angeles Examiner, and other periodicals. You mentioned earlier in the conversation that you're very non-judgmental, you've got lots of training to not do that, but there have to be times when someone sends you a message on the internet or they call you or they come in for an appointment and you go, "Wow, that's just weird, that's just freaky, that scares me." Give me an example.
Well, I won't go into examples because I wouldn't want to have anybody think that what they have is so freaky and weird, because that's a part of it is putting labels on what people have. And as a sex therapist, we follow a model called the Plicit model, and that's handed down by ASEC, which is a huge organization, and they're the ones who really govern this area. And the Plicit model is the permission, limited information, specific suggestions, and intense treatment, meaning that you have to give the client permission to tell you. And yes, in all honesty, I have had times when I've been taken back, and And that is the gray area in counseling, where it really is the therapist that you're working with. And sometimes I have to step back, or I've even had to say, you know what, I need a moment, or apologize if I've reacted in a certain way. I'm human, so it does happen. But again, I've been through training where I think there's a message that comes out every day.
Wow.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that I think, but it doesn't mean that when someone comes in, I'm going to try to change them. It just means that we're going to work with it. As long as someone's not hurting themselves or hurting somebody else, my job is to direct them in a way where they can live their life and not not be unhappy with who they are and not be shamed. A lot of people are shamed because they don't understand that many of the sex problems are not even problems. It's just an idea from childhood.
I would think, Dawn, again, as you mentioned Valentine's Day, as we head into that holiday, that's got to be a tough one for some people who are in, essentially, sexless marriages, where it begins, and everything is new and exciting, and then it goes on, and it becomes dull and routine and mundane, and children come into the play. Give our listeners some advice, some tips on how to reignite that fire.
Well, I think one of the best things to look back on is when you met your spouse, and try to think about what it was that excited you about them and how you acted as far as when you were with them. You dated them. You dated this person, and you got their attention, and you did certain things. And women, speaking from a woman's standpoint, women still need to be stimulated outside of the bedroom, mentally stimulated. Their minds are much different than men, and part of stimulating a woman's mind or a wife's mind is to, take her on a date and say stuff to her that's romantic and work outside the bedroom, because then she'll be more interested to get in the bedroom. Her desire will be sparked. So
and you say stuff that's romantic, but I would think it has to be very genuine too. You can't bluff your way through that sort of thing.
Absolutely not. But you know what? How hard is it to look at someone that you love and say, you look beautiful tonight, or gosh, legs look sexy in that dress, or when you look at me, your eyes are so beautiful. I mean, this is the person that you marry. Think back to the time, you may be angry at them, I don't know, but think back to the time when you first met. And, you know, give them a compliment today, a compliment or two compliments a day. Tell them that you love them. You holding these things back is not going to help the marriage. The best thing to do is to express that you still love them, appreciate them. And men and women need that. Husbands need to be complimented as well. I think wives, even more so than husbands, forget to compliment their husbands and to tell them that they're doing a good job or they appreciate them or thank them. It's just part of human nature. We look at our spouse and we kind of take them for granted many times. And it affects the sex life, the intimate life, and ultimately it affects the family. And this is an epidemic, unfortunately, that's going on right now. So I think Valentine's Day is the perfect time to reignite the fires. And you know what? It doesn't mean you have to jump into bed, especially if you've been in a sexless marriage, because that puts a lot of pressure on each other. So take the time to do things that would be more romantic in the sense of holding hands and hugging and kissing and touching and not putting that pressure on the intimacy part of it. So
very sound advice. Dawn Michael is our guest today. Visit her online at thehappyspouse.com. And if someone wants help, if they need to see a sexologist, they don't need to be there in Los Angeles. You actually do work over the Internet.
I do it on live chat. So if someone really is, I don't want to say embarrassed, but they don't even have to speak to me. They can get right on live chat through live person, through my website, and chat with me and ask me a question. And it's very easy. And I won't bite, I promise.
And if you do, it won't be hard, and perhaps it will be pleasurable. So there you go. TheHappySpouse.com is the website. Dawn Michael is our guest. She's a registered sexologist and marriage counselor based in Los Angeles. Thanks for coming on our special Valentine's show.
Thank you, and I look forward to speaking with you again, and you have a good Valentine's Day.
You as well. It's the Burke Allen Program. If you'd like to be a part of the show, our number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. And you can always hop into our chat room as well here on the Burke Allen Show on WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet. Video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You can also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit GreatVideoTool.com today. That's GreatVideoTool.com. Do it now. GreatVideoTool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com and experience Dark Force.
It's the Burke Allen Program on WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thanks again to our first guest on our special Valentine's show, L.A.-based sexologist and marriage counselor Dawn Michael. And you can visit her online at thehappyspouse.com. And up next, we're going to head all the way across the country and skip over all the bad weather that's happening in the Midwest as we broadcast live today and go from sunny Los Angeles to snowy New York City. And that's where New York City-based interracial dating expert J.C. Davies is going to join us. J.C. is the author of the brand new book, I Got the Fever, and it's available online at feverbook.com. Now, J.C. has talked to hundreds of interracial couples in the New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut area about interracial dating and has even partaken of the buffet herself. And J.C. Davies is our guest today on the Burke Allen Program. Congratulations on the new book, I Got the Fever.
Oh, thank you so much, Burke.
Now, this book is not just a book about you and your interracial dating background, but you actually talk to a whole lot of people who've been in that world.
Absolutely. And thank you for making that point, because some people have definitely had the wrong idea. I actually talk to people of the five different races in the book, both, you know, white people as well as the people within those cultures and those that dated them. So, and you know, a lot of people make it out like a sort of black and white thing, but it's really very a varied group. You know, you have a Japanese guy with a Brazilian woman. I mean, people mix it up.
Now, you're in a very progressive area in, you know, Midtown Manhattan, New York City, but you wind up in certain parts of the country, and this is still very much a taboo subject. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, unless you're in a major metropolitan area like D.C. or New York or parts of California, there just aren't as many people of color. And I think that's a big piece of it. And then the people that you do see, like I did an interview for Greenville, Mississippi, and he said, you know, we have them, but everybody's sort of staying in their neighborhood with their people doing their thing. So, but, you know, it's interesting because those people actually have even more interest in the book than people that live in big metropolitan areas, because for them it's so different and so taboo and so interesting, and they get like an insider's viewpoint when they read the book.
The book is I Got the Fever. It's released this week and available online at feverbook.com, amazon.com, and bookstores everywhere. J.C. Davies is the author, and you first got interested in this subject, I would assume, because you had your first interracial relationship. Is that right?
Absolutely. Well, I actually started interracial dating when I was 21, and my boyfriend was Mexican, and we were together for almost a decade, so that was a really long interracial relationship. And then when I moved to New York City, I actually dated several black men, as well as Asians, Indians, et cetera.
And of those guys, are the stereotypes correct, or are they totally off base?
Well, you know, it really depends. And it's interesting that you bring up the word stereotype, because stereotype is one of those words that I really hate because it really shuts down the conversation. What I try to talk about really are cultural norms. There are cultural norms, and that's where some of those stereotypes come from. For example, Latin guys being macho, right? So people would say, oh, that's a terrible stereotype. But if you ask 100 Latins and the people that dated them, ask 1,000 of them, you're going to see that 99% say, yeah, you know, Latins are pretty macho. Listen, my personal I'm not very macho, Latin. But so there's always going to be exceptions. But some of the stuff, other Jewish men being cheap, so.
Our guest is J.C. Davies. The book is I Got the Fever. It's available at feverbook.com. As we get closer to Valentine's Day, our previous guest on the program was a sexologist based in Los Angeles. She gave us tips on how to reignite your marriage as you head into Valentine's Day and to keep it spicy. What about interracially? Any tips on having a spicy interracial relationship? Well, I think we're having some cellular issues with our guest, J.C. Davies, today. Looks like we may have lost herself. If you'd like to be a part of the program, our number to call is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. By the way, that is a free call in the New York City metropolitan area. And if you'd like to visit either of our guests, you can do so online. Sexologist Don Michael is at thehappyspouse.com, and J.C. Davies, the author of I Got the Fever, available online at feverbook.com, amazon.com, and bookstores everywhere. I'm Burke Allen. Our number again, 718-506-1944. J.C. Davies is our guest. The book is I Got the Fever. You also have a blog, J.C., where you blog about interracial dating, and you get letters, and some of them are not real happy with you. Why is that?
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people actually are pretty happy with me on the blog. I mean, every once in a while I get someone that, like, the race has become one of those topics that you just can't talk about. And, you know, I talk about this a lot when I meet with people. You know, our country had a really bad history. Obviously, Jim Crow, Japanese internment camps. I mean, if there's something terrible you could do to people of color, we have done it. So the way we've sort of handled that is we're going to be like ultra PC now and never talk about it. The only problem is that sort of separates people. Unless people can really sit down and have a dialogue, we can't really progress. So we're sort of in that area where, you know, a lot of people expect you to be ultra PC. I am not. I'm honest, and I'm not only speaking for myself, but like I said, like you said, the people that I interviewed for the book. And so sometimes, you know, people don't like me, but you know, it'd be interesting. I get much more that do because they say, you know, you really get it. You really understand what it's like for interracial daters. And unless you've been there, you don't get it to a certain extent.
When you were doing the research for the book and you talked to all these interracial couples, was there something that surprised you, something that you didn't expect that you learned?
Yeah, well, there were definitely a few things. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, having just had sushi, is that that Asians have some predilections with how your hair down there is taken care of. So it's supposed to,
really?
Yes, it's supposed to be au naturel. So there's, I call that part of my book, you know, Asians don't like Brazilians. No Brazilians, please, or something like that. Because it's something that they consider to be bad luck. And there's an absolutely adorable quote from this adorable Chinese guy who's very Americanized and very modern. And he says, he's like, I don't know. I've slept with many women that had Brazilians. Nothing bad's happened to me yet. So anyway.
Who knew?
Well, it's just something like I had a whole list of questions, you know, different sex things, different relationship things. Does he pick up the tab? You know, is he generous? Is he a nice guy? You know, is he affectionate? All of these kinds of things. And that one I was not expecting. I mean, that one really just came out of left field. So, it's maybe racy to talk about, but that's just the one that was, like, really shocking to me. I'm like, what? Like, they care? Why would they care about that? So, anyways.
Now, you mentioned that your first interracial relationship was with a Mexican guy, if I recall right, and that lasted for 10 years. So,
yeah, almost a decade,
The stereotype of the red-hot Latin lover, the Antonio Banderas thing, apparently that played out in your world.
I don't know about that. I mean, we definitely had a good love life and all of that kind of stuff. And I mean, you know, it's good that you bring up that point because we're obviously not together anymore. But it was never, and I've talked to a lot of people that have been in interracial relationships, and no one's ever said that their relationship broke up as a result of the fact that they were interracial. Like in our case, we just, you know, we started dating at 21. We were fetuses. What did we know then? You know, when we grew up, we sort of grew apart, you know? And so we went our separate ways. He's very happy. I'm very happy. You know, it's all good. We're still friends, you know? So it was never anything to do with the race. I mean, not that my mother-in-law didn't give me a hell of a hard time, because she did, because I was so naive to a lot of the cultural stuff. And that's part of what actually got me to write the book, is because I really wanted someone to not have to go through what I went through with them.
Do you think that an interracial relationship puts so much strain on the onset because of those cultural differences that, you know, it's so much extra trouble that people tend to stay away from it?
I think they think that, but I think it's an absolute and total myth. You know, I had a black and white couple. I do a piece on my blog with successful interracial couples, and the woman was black, the guy was white, and he had a black girlfriend before and said, you know, this time I'm going to date white people because it's going to be easier. And he kind of laughed. He's like, JC, he's like, yeah, it wasn't any easier. Relationships are difficult. And the race and culture part, to me, it's interesting. It's what makes the relationship really fun and engaging. But it really doesn't have all these terrible negatives that have been associated with it up to this point. Dealing with the mother-in-law is a problem, whether she's Mexican, black, white, whatever. You know, I mean, a lot of these things are going to happen regardless of race.
Now, you roll this book out in national release later this week. We're, you know, some 10 days away from Valentine's Day as we do this broadcast live. Do you think if someone doesn't have a Valentine, someone special, that maybe they need to look outside their own race? Would you advocate that based on all these interviews that you did?
Yes, I absolutely would advocate that, and I talk about that a lot with the book. Actually, January is breakup month, so a lot of people have broken up after the holidays, and I think it's a great book to get because it reduces that fear factor. So if it's something you've already always been interested in, I've always been interested in Latin guys, and I just broke up with my husband or boyfriend or whatever, and, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I want to look at some other options, then this book can help you kind of understand what some of the differences are, and also, you know, reduce any stress that you think that relationship is going to be overly difficult, because again, it's not going to be any more difficult than any relationship. And my other thing that I would say about that is women are so terrible with the type. He has to be white and 6'5" and be an investment banker. You got to chill about that. You got to open yourself up to other people. You know, maybe the love of your life is actually 5'7" and Asian. Who knows?
Widen the pool. I love it. Great advice from J.C. Davies. Her brand new book released this week is I Got the Fever. Pick it up online at feverbook.com, amazon.com, and bookstores everywhere in snowy New York City today. J.C. Davies, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm Burke Allen in Washington, D.C. Thanks for listening. Now, go out and make it a great day.